Well, hello, everybody. Good to see you this morning. I didn't actually say what my name is, but my name is Dane. I'm the youth pastor here at NLCC, and it's, well, not my celebration day, but I'll take it. it's my blessing to be able to bring the word this morning, and a word that Matthew and Price and I were, as we were looking at the scriptures, we didn't plan it this way, but it's actually a beautiful passage for our grads today. If we look at the whole of Colossians, this one was like the perfect one that lined up. And so we love when God orchestrates things behind the scenes that we don't plan. And so today we want to look at what is Paul saying in this part of Colossians, Colossians 2 verse 1 to 7. And this is what I'm going to set that is what he says. He wants to, help us see what is worth investing our whole lives in. What does Paul say is worth investing or building our lives on? We all have things that we're investing in, every single one of us. We're maybe investing financially in things, maybe things like stocks or crypto or retirement, because I'm sure we all don't want to work till we're 100. We're also investing emotionally in things like our kids and dreams for the future. We're investing relationally in marriages and friendships. We're investing spiritually in prayer, in scripture, in going for walks and praying to Jesus. And maybe some also oddly specific things like Taylor Swift merchandise. I don't know if any of you are there, no judgment towards you whatsoever. Or if you're more like me, maybe some very overpriced coffee gear. Hey, one of the things that I've done recently is that I now only buy coffee beans that have a roasted date on them within the last month, because that is the only way to drink coffee. Yes, I am now a coffee snob and I am proud of it. But why do we invest in all of these things? Because we believe that every single one of these things that we're investing our time, our resources in, are worth the investment. They're worth the time, they're worth the money, they're worth the emotional output. We believe it's worth it. And that's actually where we get our word worship from. It's that we say that something is worth our time and worth our energy. Worship is saying to Jesus that he is worth it all. And I just remember back, I heard from someone in the first service after I preached that it's a contentious issue, but I'm still gonna say it anyway. Back about 8 years ago, I was crypto mining. And for those who don't know, I'll give a brief introduction that won't help you at all. But basically, you use your graphics card on your computer to do computations. And as you do computations, you get these little pieces of the Bitcoin, and that equates to money in the long run. So I was doing that using my graphics card, wasting electricity. And long story short, I managed to pay for our hospital bills for my second son in South Africa. And I also managed to buy myself an iPad with the money that I mined. And so there was an investment in all of that research and an investment in all of that time. But there's also ways or things that we invest in that are a waste of time. And one of the things that I did when I was younger was there were these computer magazines that I would buy every month. And I would keep them in my cupboard in the bottom, like perfect slot. And they would just build up. And I'm like, one day these are gonna be worth something. I mean, okay, funny thing is, just before I came to Canada, so like 4 years ago, I still had them. And I was trying to figure out a way to bring them. And this just shows you how far down the rabbit hole I was going on that. But no, they're not worth anything. And I invested lots of time and money in those things. But also, maybe a little bit closer to home, is investing time in DIY projects when I'm not actually that good at it. And going out and buying all the stuff you need and watching stacks of YouTube videos, maybe like an hour of YouTube videos to make sure that I know exactly what I'm doing. And you spend the whole day doing it, and at the end of the day, you're either worse off than when you started, or it's just not fixed and you still have to call someone. So sometimes we're investing things that are worth it, and sometimes we invest in things that aren't. And we wanna know what Paul actually says is worth investing our time and energy on. Because at the end of the day, we don't want to waste our time and energy. And when we do want to know what is the best reason or what best thing to invest in, we consult experts, because the experts know what is best. Usually when we start out, we don't know what's best. So we consult experts, Me, I Google or YouTube, that's my expert. Probably not good. But yeah, we consult experts. And Paul was the expert on spiritual matters. Paul was the expert on Christ, on Jesus. And so we want to consult Paul this morning. So let's read Colossians 2, verse 1 to 7. This is what Paul says is worth building our lives on, worth investing our lives in. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea. And for all who have not met me personally, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we do want to know what is worth investing our lives in. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste our energy. But Lord, we want to put our energy, our time, our resources in the things that matter most. So Lord, we pray that you would illuminate that to us today. Lord, we have a desire for that. None of us want to waste time. And Lord, we also don't want to waste our emotional energy on things as well, things that don't matter and things that don't last. So Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we look at Paul, as we look at Colossians, and as we look at what you say to get a real idea of what you want for us today. In your name we pray, amen. In the city of Colossae, Paul became aware of a number of false teachers, and there's a lot of debate, which I'm not gonna go into. I'm gonna leave for whoever's preaching next week to do that. But there's a lot of debate into who these false teachers were and what they were actually addressing. But what we do know is that these false teachers were preaching a gospel, something like Jesus and fill in the blank. So Jesus is not enough, you need Jesus and whatever. One of the things that we know from those days is that having knowledge was something that was sought after. Jesus and knowledge would have been something really, really big. In fact, probably one of the biggest things. If you had knowledge, you were set apart in society. If not, you were kind of like second-rate citizens. And I think we're kind of similar today. Like there's a seeking for knowledge, maybe not the same type of knowledge, but a seeking for knowledge. And that's why we have things called social media influencers. And now those social media influencers, no matter what platform you go on, they try and tell us that they know better. They have the solution. They have the things that are gonna help us be better. They have the secret or the magic recipe or the ultimate fill in the blank. Whatever you think, they probably have an answer for you on that. Do this and your life will be better. Read this and you'll have a greater understanding. You think there is one ultimate truth? Well, you're wrong. There's no ultimate truths. Believe what you want, but it doesn't even really matter. That's kind of a narrative that's happening in the world at the moment. And one of my major thoughts as I was thinking about this and preparing this is there's a school of thought called nihilism in the world today, which is a very popular thought. And it believes this: there is no ultimate truth. Believe whatever works for you. Life is meaningless. Just enjoy the ride. And Paul is trying to tell us this is not true. There is meaning in life. There is purpose. But how do I know what that is? And how do I invest my life in the thing that has purpose and meaning? Well, one thing we do know is that Paul was very serious about Jesus and very serious of people. In fact, there's multiple places in scripture where he says he would give up his life for the church, or he would give up his life for Jesus. In fact, as he's writing this letter, he's in prison writing it. And there's people he's writing to that he's never even met, but he cares so deeply that that's more important than the situation that he's faced himself in. That kind of depicts that Paul had value in this thing. If he didn't have value, he would not care. Let's take a look at a couple of the scriptures that show how much value Paul put in Jesus and the church. They won't be on the screen because they're really short. But in Philippians 3, he said, I count everything loss compared to knowing Christ. Everything is loss compared to knowing him. Galatians 2, he said, I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In Acts 20, verse 24, he says, "My life is worth nothing, only that I finish the race and complete the task that Jesus gave me." You don't live a life like that unless you have supreme value in that thing that you're willing to give up everything for. Paul saw Jesus and Paul saw people, the church, as worth his life, worth his investment. And if we can't see things that have that possibility, we would never give the energy and effort to that. So if you don't like Taylor Swift, you're probably not going to invest in going to the concert or buying merchandise. If you don't like coffee, I've got words for you. No, I'm kidding. This is what N.T. Wright says. He says that Paul says all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ. In this passage, Paul is trying to say that all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, all the treasures of those things are found in Christ. As I was thinking about this thought of Jesus being our treasure, it reminded me of so many treasure hunt movies that I've watched. How many of you enjoy a good treasure hunt movie? Yeah? Okay, good. I'm glad, because if no one did, this would have been a bad point. One of my favorite ones is National Treasure. I see some yes, that's good. One of the better Nicolas Cage movies. So one of the things that is amazing about treasure hunt movies, or maybe not amazing depending who you think, but they always have a very similar sort of plot on how things pan out. There's this explorer or archaeologist or adventurer or whatever who has this belief that there's something special out there, but no one else believes him, and he sort of gets scorned by society, but then this clue, this message magically comes from somewhere, and suddenly he gets satellite and amasses a team of people who are sort of skeptical but believe in the guy, and they set out on this adventure to try and find this treasure, but lo and behold, there are bad guys, and the bad guys are coming, and they're trying to get the treasure for themselves, but they don't want to give the treasure to a museum so that the whole world can benefit from the treasure. No, they want the treasure for themselves so they can sell it and they can make lots and lots of money and make themselves famous. And there's this beautiful picture as I was thinking about that of that's kind of what Paul's doing here. There's this group in Colossae that are trying to take these people who are following Jesus and say that their truth is better and amass followers for themselves. It was a selfish thing. Paul never amassed following for himself. Instead, he always pushed it towards Jesus. Jesus is the treasure. And Paul has the secret treasure map that will help us find Jesus. It's beautiful. And Paul doesn't keep it secret to himself. Paul wants the world to know. And Paul wants to warn these people in Colossae about these people who are trying to steal the treasure for themselves. What's really interesting is that Paul was a Roman citizen. And as he's depicting this to the people in Colossae, he actually uses real like military sort of language, and we see this all over the place with Paul. If you think about like the armor of God, like Paul loves to use military analogy. And in verse 5, he uses battle language when he speaks about these people in Colossae. He says, "How disciplined you are and how firm you are in your faith." That's like, you know, military, firm and disciplined. Paul loves to use that kind of language, but it was true. He saw these people in Colossae, he had heard about them, and they were people who loved Jesus. Jesus was their center, their foundation, and he wanted to make sure that they stayed like that. And I think we're like that as well. We love Jesus, and he's our foundation. So we need to know why and how we can actually do that. One of the stories that I look back, I don't know if it's fondly, but thinking about treasure. And when my family 4+ years ago was sort of thinking about what's next for our lives and making the plans to come to Canada, there were a lot of sacrifices that we made because we believed that what was on the other side was worth the investment of what we were doing. And the investment was finances. Like we had a house there that we was in a beautiful place, and we gave up that. Friends and family, we don't have any of those nearby anymore. A wonderful church. Like I didn't leave a church that I was grumpy with. I left a church that I loved. I'd been in that church for 36 years. Time, like I had spent so much time researching immigration and all the things I need to know. I invested all those things, but I invested them because I felt like something was worth it on the other side. And the worth it was my kids needed an education that was different to what was offered in South Africa. And thankfully, God had already been revealing in our own hearts that he was leading us to something new, and we were just sort of following in his footsteps. And so there was a peace and a confidence that this treasure was worth pursuing. And 4 years later, I still feel the same thing, that that treasure, all of the things that we gave up for this treasure was worth it. And Paul is trying to tell us today that this treasure, Jesus Christ, Christ alone, is worth our energy and our effort and our emotions. Every bit of ourselves is worth it. Otherwise, he wouldn't say in Philippians 3, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Paul would never say that if he didn't believe that that was the most important thing that he could be investing in. Recently, I probably in the last 3 months, have been going through a tough time personally, just dealing with a bunch of emotional struggles. And as I was reflecting on this passage today, I realized that what I was investing in and what I was putting all of my energy in were all of the things that I could control. And so I was having some tough family stuff that I was dealing with. I found out my mom got cancer as well around that time. Work was particularly tough, and we were talking about Willowbrook, and there's all new things, which is all exciting, but all of these things started compounding and putting on top of each other. And I, in myself, go, okay, I need to be in control of all these places, and I need to be the best dad, and I need to be the best husband, and I need to be the best pastor, and I need to be the best son. All of those things compound on top of each other, and suddenly something breaks and something falls, because I'm not rooted in Jesus, but I'm rooted in all of the control that I can have in my own life. And I feel like we're all kind of like that. We all kind of have spaces in our lives where we build into things that aren't gonna keep us solid and strong in the long run. None of those things are bad. Like, we should be good parents. We should be good husbands and wives, and, you know, fill in the blanks of whatever you do and wherever you are. Like, those are important things. But when our roots are in those things, like, something will give at some stage. Paul knows this. So we know what is worth investing in, Christ and Christ alone, but does Paul actually tell us how we can invest in Christ and Christ alone? How can we have a disciplined and strong faith like he asks us to do? Well, that's where we're gonna read Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. And grads, this is the scripture that I was like, this so beautifully aligns with what's to come in your lives. So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Continue, keep going. There's three things that Paul is trying to bring at here. And as we do these, this is actually the first time that Paul is bringing a command in Colossians, and he's getting ready for what is about to come, and that's addressing these false teachers. But this is the first time, and the commentators, as you dig into this, they all sort of say, this is like the central point of Colossians. This is the main thing that Paul is using as a foundation. So then, just as you receive Christ, continue in him, rooted in him, strengthen the faith, and overflowing with thankfulness. Because as we do these things, that will make us become alive in Christ. That's what Paul is trying to, that's the secret sauce, so to speak, that Paul is trying to get at. So there's three things I wanna bring to your attention out of this passage. Two of them I'm gonna quickly go through, and then one we're gonna spend a little bit extra time on. Firstly, Paul says that we need to receive Christ and continue in him. Some of you here may not have received Christ. Some of you have maybe not decided to follow Jesus. And maybe today's the day that you will hear him in your heart say, hey, I love you. I'm for you. Come to me. Maybe today. But for some of you, many of you, you have been walking with Jesus. And Paul urges us to continue in him. And that's where he places these other things in place. Because the second thing he says is later on is be thankful. Thankfulness. There's someone I spoke to who spoke about thankfulness and said that they write down 10 things they're thankful for every morning and then tear it up and throw it away. Like, I was like, oh, that's an interesting practice. But the more and more I read about thankfulness, the more and more I realize it's a beautiful practice. And Paul didn't know what he was actually, that he was actually speaking a very powerful neuroscience thing that has been studied. And it's the fact that neuroscience has actually proven that thankfulness rewires the neurons in our brains and brings happiness in our lives when we are thankful. It does things like boosts dopamine, serotonin, reduces stress, improves sleep, builds resilience and emotional control, strengthens relationships. All of these things happen when people are thankful, and it's scientifically proven. Somehow Paul knew this, and somehow Paul knew that if we remain in an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness, we all have something that we can be thankful for. Then we will find hope in our lives more and more. But that, those two things, finding Jesus, staying in him, and being thankful, are in the back of this principle that Paul tries to get at with us, and that's to be rooted and built up in Jesus. And we're gonna spend just a little bit of time here because I think it's super, super important. Scholars point out that this rooted and this built up are, rooted is a horticultural term and built up is sort of a construction term. And in the rooted sphere, rooted is about going deep, and the build up, the construction, is about going up. But there's an order here. Paul says rooted first and then built up. And so there's something powerful about being rooted in Christ, as Paul will tell us. I had three sort of pictures of trees as I thought about. Grads, I spoke about the first one already as the scripture I shared with you. But it's the picture of a tree on a riverbank. And I sort of alluded to it already, but as the water rushes along the river, as the storm comes, the soil wiggles and, you know, what soil does with roots, and the tree actually gets deeper and deeper roots into the side of the bank. And the tree actually ends up being stronger because of it rather than weaker. It's a beautiful, beautiful principle. And here's the thing, when we're rooted in Jesus, when the storms of life come, we will remain rooted in him. In fact, we won't get weaker and fall over, we'll get stronger and we'll press in and get stuck in, even though the storms are still there. The second picture I had was that of sequoia trees. Sequoia trees grow to about 100 meters high, apparently weigh 1 million kilograms, which is insane. And you would expect those roots to go super deep, but they don't. They go 1.5 to 3.5 meters deep. Now, I'm like 1.78, something like that. So the roots can actually be shallower than me for a 100 meter tall, 1 million kilogram tree. But the beauty of this thing is that the roots actually go 60 to 80 meters wide. So they go shallow, but they go super wide, and they interconnect, interlock with the other sequoia trees that are around them. And so they're able to create a strong network of roots. They're still rooted in a completely different way, and they're still strong and stay strong. And the beauty that I thought about on this one is God created the church for this, that we may interlock with one another and form deep roots, not only down with Christ, but also with each other. And a small plug for life groups. If you're not in a life group, this is a great place to do that, to interlock with people around you so that you may grow tall and strong and not fall over. And then the last picture I have is just beautiful roots on the screen. If you look at the top of those roots, I mean, the top part of the above the soil and the part below the soil, which part has more or is more intricate? It's the roots, right? Like those roots are like, interesting and intricate and go deep. And I thought they were so beautiful that, you know, the beautiful plants that we see above the ground need more intricate roots below the ground. And there's this thing called a taproot, and a taproot goes just, it's like a thick root that goes straight down because they can't find the nutrients that they need in the top layer of soil, and so they go deep, 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 deep so they can find the nutrients in the water that they need. And it's like us as well. Sometimes, you know, we can't find what we need in the surface. And so just getting deep in Christ is what we need to do. But the roots are more important than the plants above. And the roots feed the plants above. Paul knew this. If your roots aren't strong, you will get knocked over by anything that sounds true but isn't. And we wonder why we get pulled and tossed from things, but our roots aren't deep. And that's why, because our roots aren't deep. Douglas Moo says this, believers can live lives that exemplify the lordship of Christ only by remaining like branches firmly attached to the vine and by continuing to allow God to integrate them like stones into the new structure that is nothing other than Christ himself. Flannery O'Connor also says, the truth does not change according to our ability to stomach it. Paul is letting us know a powerful, important truth. And these other people are trying to say the truth and, but that doesn't change what the truth is. The truth is Christ, and Christ alone is the thing worth investing our lives in, the thing worth building roots on. So, this morning I want to ask you a question. How are your roots? Grads, this is a good question for you as well, because you're going to be going into a world that loves to give you all sorts of information, differing, same. How are your roots? And this is a message not just for grads, but for grandparents as well. How are your roots? Paul would ask us the same question. How are your roots? Not how's your week been or how successful do you look, but beneath all of that, how are your roots? I had, maybe just picture this with me. I just had this picture of like walking in the forest, and you come across two trees, both exactly the same. One of them is standing tall and one of them has fallen over. And there's nothing to say why the one's tall and the one's over, but then you hear a whisper and it says this: one of those trees grew down before it ever grew up. One of those trees grew down before it ever grew up. Same question, how are your roots? Are they deep? Are they interconnected in community? The question Paul is pushing is that things on the surface may look great, things like your grades or your jobs or followers or your charisma, but storms actually don't care about appearances at all. They test your foundation. They test your roots. Storms test your roots. As I was thinking about this, you may know the Encanto song, Surface Pressure. As I listened to that song the first time I watched Encanto, I actually wept, which is not a hard thing for me, but I actually wept because something rang true in that song for me. Because Louisa in that song speaks about the way that she has to carry her family and how she has to move mountains because she's the strong one. She's the one that everyone looks at because she's so strong. She's unbreakable. But the song goes, but underneath she sings, under the surface, I'm pretty sure I'm worthless if I can't be of service. If I don't add an external value, I'm worthless. That's what she's saying. And she speaks about this pressure like a drip, drip, drip that'll never stop. I feel like we do that. We build up this pressure on ourselves of being the perfect dad, being the perfect mom, being the perfect spouse, partner, student, having it all together. And it's this pressure that drip, drip, drip until one day our tree falls over because our roots aren't deep. We try and perform. We try and carry everyone's problems, try and put on a smile like everything is okay, when really deep down it's not. Paul wants us to know that the only way that we can stand up in all of these pressures of life is being deeply rooted in Jesus. I think it's such a vivid picture of how we maybe feel from time to time and maybe how some of us feel today. Paul wants us to know that investing in our roots, investing in our relationship with Jesus, investing in Christian relationships with people around us, that keeps us from snapping under the weight of all of those pressures in our lives. That helps us to put things in perspective and put things into place. Because here's the gospel truth: Jesus never called you to prove your worth. He already declared your worth. Jesus never called you to say you're worth it. Jesus told you you're worth it. And we know this because when Jesus was on the cross, he looked at us and saw us as a treasure worth dying for. He saw us as a treasure worth investing his life for. And the God of all the universe, if he was willing to do that for us, is that not worth something? Well, not something that is worth investing our own lives in. You are Christ's treasure. You are worth it because he says so. Not because of anything that you can do. Not because you can perform and be the best dad, mom, fill in the blank. But because Jesus says you are. Jesus looks at the unpolished us and says, I love you. That's what makes him the ultimate treasure. So, when the storms come, and everyone, I guarantee you they will, Anyone who's lived any kind of life will know that storms come. It won't be how competent or confident you are that saves you. It'll be Christ Jesus, and it'll be how rooted you are in him. I look back to the story that I shared, and that's the lesson that I learned out of this thing is I was not rooted in Christ in all of those problems that I was facing, but rather I was rooted in my abilities, and my abilities are not enough. My strength is not enough, especially in a season like that. So how do I root myself in Christ now so that the next time something like that happens, I'll be good? And that's the question I'm pitching to you this morning. What is the area of your life that you need to root in Christ today? As you walk out of here and you think about things that you've rooted elsewhere, things you've invested in elsewhere, what is one area that Christ might be calling you today to root in him so that you may know that you are worth it because Christ says you are? So we're gonna pray, and worship band's gonna come out. This is a beautiful opportunity to respond to him. Respond to Jesus this morning. And we'll have the prayer room at the back open, and I think we'll have some people in the front that'll be ready to pray as well. If there's an area of your life where maybe you don't feel like you can push past, today is a really great day to come and ask for help, to be those interconnected roots. Or maybe you just want to sit in your seat and ask Jesus to help you be deeper. Be like that tap root that goes deep, deep, deep and finds the nutrients. You know what? Wherever you're at today, Jesus is here and he wants to connect with you and meet with you where you are. That's who Jesus is, because you are his treasure. Let's pray. Lord, I just feel blessed this morning to know you. Maybe we don't say that enough. Lord, I'm blessed to know you. That you call me your treasure. That you say and said that I am worth dying for. That everyone in this building is worth dying for. That you saw us when you took the crown of thorns and you said, this is for you because I love you. That is beautiful, and that is worth me investing my life in. Lord, I'm so sorry for all the times that I've placed my trust in people, in my own abilities, in having control and having it all together, when none of those things I'm able to keep and do. But Lord, you are able to be central in the storm. Lord, as we root deep in you and the storm comes, Lord, you will be the sustainer. You will be the one that locks us in strong. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone in the building today, Lord, that you would help us to see the area of our lives, areas or an area of our life that needs to be rooted in you. Just one thing. And Lord, I pray that that may be a source of immense joy. That would go beyond what we can understand. Thank you that you have that deep love for us, Lord. And as we just worship and sing about building our lives on you, Lord, I want to pray that you would reveal by your Holy Spirit the things that you want us to see this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.